Lexi Kaim is an organizer with the San Antonio-based group Young Ambitious Activists, which has put together multiple protests in recent weeks. The group supports reforms like de-escalation training, some reduction in funds, and the dismantling of the police union.
Because I think that that's the main part in why, you know, police officers are fired, but they're the reason why they get rehired into departments. So we want the police union to be gone.
At a recent city council meeting, San Antonio Police Chief William McManus outlined the various protections provided to officers by their collective bargaining agreement with the city. More than half of all terminated officers in San Antonio get their jobs back through the contractual arbitration process.
This is an issue for me. This is problematic for me. There has to be consequences for misconduct, and there are right now, but they have to be certain and they have to be final.
Around Texas, certain reforms are already being put in place. Austin City Council passed some around use of force. The Houston mayor announced an executive order banning chokeholds, and Dallas passed several reforms, including a requirement that officers intervene when another officer violates a policy. In San Antonio, Mayor Ron Nirenberg has expressed interest in what's known as the 8-Can't-Wait platform.
Am I to understand that with some tweaks to the language in our policies, that we will be fulfilling 7 out of the 8 of those 8-Can't-Wait policies that are really driving?
8-Can't-Wait aims to reduce police violence by 72% by tracking where police departments stand on 8 key policies. They include a ban on chokeholds and a ban on shooting at moving vehicles. There is also movement at the federal level to pass similar reforms.
You wouldn't say that you want to reform slavery, and you wouldn't say that you want to reform slave patrols. And yet policing the United States, as many people often note, grows out of slave patrols.
George Ticarello Marr is a visiting scholar with the Decolonizing Humanities Project at the College of William and Mary. His book, A World Without Police, will be published next year by Verso.
And so once we understand that the function of the police is not public safety, but it is the control of certain populations, and it is the control and the support of private property and wealth, then we can realize that you can only reform that system so far.
He credits Angela Davis, a co-founder of abolitionist group Critical Resistance, with bringing attention to the abolition concept in the 90s. Police abolition advocate Mike Lowe lived in San Antonio for many years and now resides in Fort Worth. He says he knows what it's like to be profiled by police and has grieved for community members killed by the San Antonio Police Department.
And those police had a total disregard for their lives and their safety. Of these members such as Marquise Jones, Norman Cooper, Antrone Scott, and the latest Charles Roundtree. And these officers not only killed violently, but they did so with impunity.
He says reforms will be ineffective and unrest will continue as long as police departments exist. But the abolition movement faces an uphill battle, says Ciccarello Marr.
Policing, white supremacy, and capitalism are really bound up with one another from the very origin of the United States. And so disentangling them, pulling them apart, isolating them to deal with them separately is very, very difficult.
And opponents of complete abolition ask what happens in extreme cases, like an active shooter situation.
You need a state-sanctioned entity with some authority to compel people to do things.
Bill Souza is a professor of criminal justice and the director of the Center for Crime and Justice Policy at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. He says police abolition is unrealistic.
While abolishing police or defunding has some political appeal in the current climate, it's a very difficult, you're essentially, in some cases at least, you'd be inviting vigilante justice. And if controlling state-sanctioned police is difficult, then controlling non-sanctioned vigilantism would be extremely difficult.
Abolition advocates argue that defunding the police will free up funds to help treat the root causes of crime, but that treatment will take time. For now, police abolition appears politically untenable in Texas. Experts say Minneapolis will provide an interesting case study if the city council follows through on their promise to go down that road. But in Texas and across the country, more incremental reforms and contract negotiations of police unions will determine the immediate future of policing. I'm Dominic Anthony Walsh in San Antonio.